Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are finishing up Sefer Micha. This is the seventh and last chapter, Perek Zayin of Sefer Micha. So really congratulations on finishing, getting this far. It is an incredible Sefer. It is one of the most unlearned Svarim in Nach. It's in the center of the Trei Asar. So really, Yashar Koichachem for getting this far. Let's take a look at this Perek inside. The Perek is divided into three basic sections. It is interesting, this perek is interesting in the sense that it is of oscillating voice. That means to say that we're going to hear Micha praying to Hashem, we're going to hear Micha talking to Hashem, we're going to hear the responses, so to speak, of Hashem in Micha's words as well. So let's take a quick look. In the first pair, the first section, which runs from Pasuk Aleph to Ches, which is the major first part of the section, the basic summary goes as follows. He says, he turns up in this metaphoric field, and he says that he's describing is Ka'osfei Kayitz. I'm looking around as if all the fruit, all the good fruit are being taken out of the field. What does that mean? So the next pasuk, he goes on to explain this metaphor to mean that avad chasid min ha'aretz. There's no longer good people. Where have all the good people gone? They're disappearing. There's no one left. All that's left is people who want to murder, people who want to usurp others. Yotzudu cherem, they're trying to hunt and capture each other. And therefore, in this context, he talks about, he says, even the judges aren't accepting bribes, they're perverting justice all for personal gain. That's the society is looking at. Even the most honest, even the best, are simply like thorns. I mean, terrible describing. Tovam kechedek. The best are like these thorns. Yashar mimsucha. Like this wall of thorns. And so bad, society is in such a bad place that alta minu berea, nobody can trust their friends, nobody can trust the leaders, even mishocheves chekecha shomor pischei picha. Even those, even one's spouse, the one that one lies with, the one who has the greatest trust in the world, one cannot divulge their secrets for fear of being betrayed. What a terrifying description over here. And at this point in time, he says, don't worry, the day of reckoning is coming. And on that day, there'll be a lot of crying. On that day, he says, the Navi will trust in Hashem and in his salvation. That's what he says, Vani ba Hashem atzapeh, I, Micha, will trust in Hashem and his salvation on that day. Because Hashem will listen to me, al tisamechi o yavti li, kinofalti komti. I don't rejoice over me, O enemies, because even though I have fallen, I have risen again. This is the first section of the Perek. Very powerful section. He's talking about the corruption in society. He's talking about his vindication, that ultimately in the end, there will be salvation. Let's move on to the summary of the second section and third section, and then we'll take one or two points to ponder. The second section goes from Tes to Yud Gimel, where essentially he passively accepts Hashem's retribution, which will lead to a ultimate comfort. He talks about how Za'af Hashem Esa, I'll bear the suffering of Hashem. Why? Because I sinned. And because I'm going to bear it, because I'm going to bear everything that he's going to throw in my direction, he will ultimately redeem me. He'll take me La'or Ere B'tzid Kosoy, I'll see his light in justice, and the enemies who laughed at me, they'll be embarrassed. It'll be a day to rebuild our walls. It's interesting. He says, we need to reevaluate. Yom li bonos gedei ro yayich. It's going to be a day to build your walls again, and a day to yirchak choik, to distance oneself from the choik, from the cultures around us, to reconstitute who the nation of Israel will and should be. And at that point in time, all the nations will come and pay homage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and their lands will be destined. This is the end of section two. If we accept the retribution coming in direction, that will be our way to get the ultimate redemption. And finally, the last section is a very famous section. We'll see why in just a moment. Yudalad to Chof. This is the end of the Perek, where he talks about how Micha actually prays to Hashem. He says, Re'ei amecha b'shivtecha. Please rear the flocks, tend to your flocks, bring them back to your ancestral pastures and lands, to the north and the south, what Moshe Rabbeinu promised to the land of Israel, and he enumerates the lands. And he talks about how the enemies will crawl on the earth and fear Hashem. And then he ends with three very, very famous psukim. See if you recognize them. Mikael Komoicha, who are you like? Who is like Hashem? Who is a power like Hashem? Nosea von vovera pesha, who bears sins and overlooks wrongdoing. Lisheris nachla, so for the remainder of his nachla, that means the remaining Jews. Lo hechzik lo adapoy, will not perpetually remain in anger, because he wants kindness. Yoshuv Yerachamenu, he will return in rachamim, in mercy. Yichbosh Avonoseinu, he will squash down our sins. He will cover them over. Tashlich b'mtzulav siyom kol chatos, someone he'll throw into the sea all of our sins. Titain emes liyakov, give kindness, give truth to Jacob. Chesed Avraham, and kindness to Abraham. Asher nishbata lavoseinu mimei kedem, as you pray, as you swore to our forefathers from time immemorial. Very famous psukim. Where do we see them elsewhere? Hold that thought for just a second. Let's return to the parak as a whole. One or two basic questions over here. You see a fascinating oscillating voice. It sounds like on the one hand, he expresses his voice as Klal Yisrael itself, as he talks about how I will bear the suffering, I will seek retribution, that I seems to be a Klal Yisrael. At the same time, it also is I as Micha talking about how he hopes for that day of salvation, how he prays for Hashem to look after Klal Yisrael, and Hashem responds that he ultimately will. That voice seems to oscillate a lot. There's just two questions to focus on in this parak, and with this we'll close this parak, and hence Sefer. Number one is that description of distrust in the earlier part of the parak, where nobody can trust each other. Parents, children won't trust parents, they'll betray parents, spouses will betray each other. What is going on over here? This is Pasuk Hey to Vav. Very disturbing description. So on the most basic level, there's numerous levels over here, is the following. The Gemara in Chagiga, Tesis Zayin Amud Aleph, says that it is actually our body and our soul which will be testifying against us. It's a metaphor, meaning to say, when we sin, when we do negative things, when we indulge, when we lie, when we connive, when we get angry, when all these things happen in our lives, we're going to come in front of the heavenly court and we'll say, it wasn't exactly as you're saying it, you know. And then your tongue and your lips and your legs and your body will say, it was exactly, as it was a little worse actually than described. Meaning to say, our circumstances will be laid in front of us. So it's not referring to our children and our spouses, it's referring to ourselves will testify against us because of the actions we committed. That's the Gemara in Chagiga, Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. What a terrifying description. Rashi quotes another alternative in Chazal. Rashi says that don't sin, quoting the Gemara, he says, Klapei Mala, Al Techtu V'Tomru HaKadosh Baruch Hu O'Haveinu V'Hu Yimchalanu. Don't say, I'll sin, but Hashem loves us so much, he'll overlook it, no problem whatsoever. No, that's not the way it works. Don't, Al Taminu Berea, don't trust in your friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't think that it's going to be, you're going to get out of this one. I know there's a famous story about the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe, was once asked by Talmud, Rebbe, don't you say that everything in the Torah always, every attribute has some sort of positive aspect to it? So the Kotzker Rebbe says, absolutely. He says, well, where does the idea of heresy come? How can that be positive? So Kotzker Rebbe says, when a poor person comes to your door, you've got to be a heretic. You can't say, Kodesh Baruch is going to take care of it. Hashem Yerachem, I don't need to do my part. No, you should act like a heretic and say, Kodesh Baruch is not going to do his part. I'm going to take care of this poor person right now. I'm going to deal with this need. So what the Rashi is saying is don't say and say, Kodesh Baruch is going to be all nice and friendly and ignore your sins. No. Take care of your sins. Don't do that. The Malbim says something which seems to be, I think, perhaps the most pashut pshat over here, the most simple understanding in this case, and that is that this will be a time of catastrophe. There'll be so much pain, there'll be so much suffering at this point in time, that ultimately people will lose trust in one another just because of the catastrophe around them. To quote Elie Wiesel in his autobiographical work, Night, a terrifying section at the end when he's talking about how after the camps are being emptied and he's being taken by the Germans before the death march, they're put on a cattle car and they're in an open cattle car with no food for 3 days. They're eating snow. There's nothing to eat. It's terrible. And here's the description he gives. In the wagon where the bread had landed, a battle ensued. And what happened was the passers-by were throwing in scraps of bread for fun to see how those emaciated prisoners would deal with it. Men were hurling themselves against each other, trampling, tearing, and mauling each other. Beasts of prey unleashed, animal hate in their eyes. An extraordinary vitality possessed them, sharpening their teeth and nails. A crowd of workmen and curious passers-by had formed all along the train. They undoubtedly never seen a train with this kind of cargo. Soon pieces of bread were falling into wagons from all sides, and the spectators observed these emaciated creatures ready to kill for a crust of bread. A piece fell in our wagon. I decided not to move. Anyway, I knew that I would not be strong enough to fight off the dozens of violent men. I saw not too far from me an old man dragging himself on all fours. He had detached himself from the struggling mob. He was holding one hand to his chest. At first, I thought he'd received a blow to his chest. Then I understood he was hiding a piece of bread under his shirt. With lightning speed, he pulled it out and put it to his mouth. His eyes lit up, a smile like a grimace illuminated his ashen face, and it was immediately extinguished. A shadow had lain down beside him, and this shadow threw itself over him. Stunned by the blows, the old man was crying, "Mayor, my little mayor, don't you recognize me? You're killing your father. I have bread for you too, for you too." He collapsed, but his fist was still clutching a small crust. He wanted to raise it to his mouth, but the other threw himself on him. The old man mumbled something, groaned, and died. Nobody cared. His son searched him, took the crust of bread, and began to devour it. He didn't get far. Two men had been watching him. They jumped him. Others joined in. When they withdrew, there were two bodies next to me, the father and the son. I was 16. That's Eli Wiesel's description in that. What this description over here in Micha is talking about is Al Talminu Berea. There's going to come times which are so bad, says the Malbim, that you can't even trust your friends, your children, your parents, your spouse. That's what suffering really, really looks like. And that's what seems to be described at the times of the worst or the darkest. The very end of this parak, those three famous psukim, let's come back to them for a moment. Where do we recognize those psukim from? Well, they are actually the end of the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuva. These are sort of copied and pasted to the end of the Shabbos Shuva Haftarah, the end of Hoshea. And they also happen to be the psukim that we use to say Tashlech, because obviously they're a description of throwing all our sins into the sea. So what are these psukim? Why are they so important? The Gemara Megillah on Chof Chesam Aleph and appears in Rosh Hashanah as well, says, Rava quoting these psukim, Kol Amavir Al Midosov Ma'avirin Mimenu Kol Peshoav. A person who is willing to overcome their own inclinations will lose all their sins. Meaning to say, if you act in a way that you'll act like Hashem, L'mi Sh'over Al Pesha, L'mi Onosei Ovan, L'mi Sh'over Al Pesha. To who does a person, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hold over their sins? Is to a person who is willing to bear their own pesha. That is the famous idea, which leads, in fact, to the writing of an entire sefer on this topic. Rav Moshe Cordovera, the Ramak, wrote a sefer called Tomer Devora, in which the entire first perek is focused on these three psukim. These are, in fact, what is known as the 13 parallel midos harachamim. We know that there are 13 attributes of Hashem's mercy, which are found in the Torah. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech abayim v'rach chesed, revetz nosei chesed, v'alofim nosei v'anofim, v'fesha v'chato'ov v'nakei. Those are the 13 attributes of mercy. These are the parallel 13 attributes. So, in fact, if you look in, let's say, an art scroll machzor, and you go to the Tashlech on Rosh Hashanah, you will notice that the 13 attributes are, in fact, delineated how each of these descriptions is parallel to one of them. And in fact, the Rav Moshe Cordovera, in his first parak, describes how we, as human beings, Kabbalistically and practically, can act like Hashem in each of these 13 ways. And in doing so, we will warrant HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy in this particular way, how each of them relate to those Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. In fact, Kabbalistically speaking, in the Idra Rabbah in Parshas Nasa, there is a description about these 13 Midos HaRachamim, And this is actually called a more powerful version of the 13 attributes. So the 13 attributes of Rachamim, as Moshe Rabbeinu says them in Parashas Kisisa, are what's called the Zer Anpin, which means the smaller face. And these ones of Micha are called the Arich Anpin, the longer face. In fact, the reason this is because the mercy expressed in Micha is more extensive than the mercy expressed by Moshe Rabbeinu. And part of the reason for that is, as the Malbim explains, is that these Midos HaRachamim that Micha is eliciting right now, what he's begging for from Hashem, is Midos HaRachamim, which are at a time of She'eris Nachlosai, when the Jewish people is dismembered, in exile, disarrayed, and suffering. That is what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to express, and therefore it is going to require more mercy, it's going to require more extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why they're more powerful, which is perhaps why we use them on Yom Kippur, why we use them on Shabbat Shuvah as a reminder of not only what Hashem's responsibility is, but our responsibility to act like Him in order to warrant these. With this, we close the powerful ending of Sefer Micha. We hope and pray for His prayer, and in Mitzvah Hashem, we should see the Geula b'mheira v'yomenu. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.